professional amateurs.
I'm so glad you asked.
I'll even tell them where I live. Like, you can come and have dinner with me or something. Off the rails.
Hoping to make you look stupid. I want to be unbiased, but I'm not.
Shane Wright.
Like, how stupid can you be?
Sorry, ruined. All right, uncut in 3, 2, 1, go. This is episode 21 of Professional Amateur. It's been a few weeks. Lots has happened since the last pod. There's been probably the most interesting and biggest, one of the most impactful trades of the cap era, at least maybe since we've been alive. I don't know if you guys agree with that. I think it's fair. There's been some big signings, notably with the Boston Bruins. There's been some lack of signings, looking at Nazem Kadri. There's a rumor that Nathan MacKinnon wants to be the highest paid player in the NHL, but it's been 3 weeks. How are the other two members of Professional Amateurs doing today? Jack, you can start.
Thank you. That was very, very kind of you. I'm doing good. How are you?
You sound a little bit hoarse. How's your throat?
I have actually just been getting over a cold.
Okay.
I was coughing up a lung for a couple of days.
Oh, yeah?
Hack darts, break hearts.
Nice. Ryan, how are you doing?
Doing fantastic.
Living the dream out east.
Totally not being burnt out from school.
Oh, yeah. It's August. School's not a thing.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Totally not.
School's not a thing in August.
Yeah, definitely not spending 6-7 hours a day at school in August.
July and August being summer vacation carries over into being adulthood. Don't everyone worry.
Oh, yeah.
All right, let's get into it. Unless Jack, you have anything more about that you'd like to
from your personal. Well, I asked you how you were doing. I don't think you answered.
So. I'm doing great. I'm ready to go. It's been 3 weeks. I got really excited to do this pod today. Even though it's in dog days of the summer, we're gonna start doing some team previews in the next, probably starting in September. So looking forward to that. But I think this will be a good episode. I think. Optimistic about it. All right, let's start. So first off, it's been 3 weeks, so lots has happened in the NHL in the past few weeks. Most notably, Matthew Tkachuk being dealt to Florida, signing an 8-year extension worth 76 mil, 9.5 per, in exchange for Huberto, Uyghur, a prospect and a first rounder in 2025, which is hilarious because now Florida doesn't have a first until 2026. However, that trade was long ago, and if you're listening to this, you've probably heard 100 other podcasts or read 100 other articles breaking that trade down, so we're not here to do that. However, applying to that trade, a recent extension was signed. Jonathan Huberto, 8 years, 84 mil, 10.5 per season in Calgary. What are our thoughts? Ryan, start.
I've seen a lot of people have issue with the term, and I think that's rightfully so. I've seen a lot of people also have issue with the dollar, which I disagree with.
So you like the cap hit, but don't like the term?
Yes, I like the cap hit. I don't like the term. It does look a little tough when you look in comparison to the Tkachuk contract, but you got to take into account state income tax there too. I don't know. I like it. It's a touch long. It goes till he's what, 37, 38?
Yeah, right? He's 29. Like, he's not.
Yeah. I don't know, but I don't see him falling off too hard. Like, skilled players like that, they find a way, right?
So yeah.
I think, like, it's okay.
Especially pass first guys.
I think the biggest thing here is just the impact of getting him signed long term. Especially after the trade, that's just the biggest thing visually for that organization. So,
yeah,
I think it's a win for them.
Jack, what about you?
No, I think, yeah, you got to really consider, like, state province tax. I think that kind of highlights the issues with that in a salary cap world. And I think, too, the term is kind of just the price of doing business. Calgary really couldn't take the chance that they end up with nothing out of this. If they had to flip Huberto and Uyghur, that would have been, like, really rough for the fan base. So I think they kind of needed to just not worry about the future and get something done, give the fans something to be happy about. Mm-hmm. And I think, too, if he would have went to the open market, a team would have thrown 7 years at him. It would have been the same anyways.
Do you think he would have got, because, like, Goodrow, like, I would have penciled Goodrow in at 11 going into free agency, and he got under 10. So do you think, like...
Well, I think it's known that Goodrow was, like, probably could have gotten more, though.
No. Has it not been, like, put out there that that was his best offer? Like, Philly didn't even make an offer because they couldn't clear the space, even though he openly wanted to go to Philly. And New Jersey only offered...
JVR, just, it's okay.
Yeah. And New Jersey just offered, like, a shade over 9, I think. Like, I don't think he was getting offered what Calgary was offering him at 8, 10.5 or whatever it was. I don't know. I'm just saying.
It's hard to know. And, like, obviously a year from now, it's different too, right?
Yeah.
I think I have no doubt that someone would have given him term. And it's.
Oh, he definitely would have gotten term. I just don't know about the 10.5.
Like, it's going to suck in those final maybe 3 years of it. But that's what you. That's the price of doing business.
That's every long-term contract that isn't signed by a guy off his ELC.
Mm-hmm. I think plenty of teams would have had the intentions of giving him that, but in this salary cap economy, you're right. It's not possible for a lot of teams to do that right now.
Kind of interesting that's the same contract that Goodrow rejected from Calgary, 8 times 10.5. I was also surprised that he signed it. I thought he would actually want to play there for a bit before signing.
I was very surprised he signed without playing.
Yeah.
At least like living in the city for a year, being under a really different coach and Daryl Sutter.
That's becoming more of a thing in like all sports. I don't know if you guys remember, but like as recently as 5 or 6 years ago, free agents would actually go to the cities and like GMs and owners would like try to woo them and convince them to sign. Now it's just as soon as a player is either traded somewhere or free agency hits, they just sign with the team. Like, I'm pretty sure, obviously, Goodrow had been to Columbus before, but he didn't actually, like, go to Columbus and, like, explore it before signing. Like, Columbus put out a video of Goodrow showing up to Columbus, and it seemed like there was, like, a huge amount of novelty to it.
I think part of that
probably... especially a thing in the NBA. Sorry.
I was going to say, I think part of that probably would be COVID affected too.
True.
Would have been less of an option. And I don't know if it's necessarily becoming more common, but I know a lot of these guys, when they get traded or when they are looking at free agency, they're always talking to each other and they always have, like, from junior or whatever, they know someone who's played there and they're always talking.
Yeah, I think it's going to come back to the current state of the cap right now too. Like, I think a few years ago we were getting consistent growth and players knew what was out there for them, so they probably could take more chances and go to free agency to get the big dollar. But now we've probably seen a trend where players are opting for the safe contract from the team they're already with.
Well, you see, like, John Klingberg kind of overplayed his hand a bit with that, it seems like.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I guess that has happened since the last time we did a pod, too, eh? Klingberg and Anaheim. So going into next year, there's going to be 14 players making over $10 million a season. That doesn't include Huberdeau, obviously. And then going into the season after that, it's probably going to remain at 14 because McKinnon's going to get over 10 and Huberdeau's going to get bumped up to 10. But then Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane's 8-year at $10 million are going to come off the books. And I don't see either of them getting 10 from anyone. So so the number for contracts over double digit millions is going to be around 14 or 15 heading into this season and next, which I don't know. I always think it's cool when guys sign at 10 or more million, just because that was such a thing that never happened. And then it seems like Kane and Toews did it. Now it's kind of the norm for superstars. Anything else on the trade that you guys want to look at? I mean, like, Uyghur going to Calgary is huge. Like, he's probably their best defenseman, steps in. Oh, okay. Here's where I wanted to go with it. In the moment of the trade, did you guys see it as a win for either team, or did you see it a win for both teams? And does the Huberto extension impact that in any way? Jack, start.
I honestly, my first reaction to it, I thought it was kind of a loss for both teams. I didn't like it either way.
That's fascinating.
Actually. Thank you.
Would you care to elaborate? Or you
just... No, I'm gonna leave it at that. No, I think like just if you're looking at like a kind of like a value, you know how they convert like draft picks and everything to expected wins. Like Florida took a huge loss on that because they gave up so many assets. So I didn't really like it from that perspective for them. And then looking at it from Calgary's perspective, obviously with both guys being pending free agents, like, I did not expect either of them to stay. I thought they would both be getting flipped at the trade deadline.
Yeah. Ryan?
Initial reaction, I thought, like, Calgary did really, really well considering the situation they were in. And then I started to realize, like, oh, yeah, they are both UFAs. And I didn't love the situation they put them back in, so... Initial was like, okay, they did well, but did it improve their situation much, really, right? But now that they have Huberto signed, you get that extra first in there, and I think it's clearly a win for Calgary now, regardless of if Weegar stays or not. Mm-hmm. But
I think it's interesting just because like Kachuk was gone anyway, whether it was going to be through trade or in a year.
Yeah, and that's exactly the reason why I consider it a win. Like, yeah. I think the next 8 years of both those players, Matthew Kachuk is the better player, but given the situation in Calgary.
It's such a weird thing to see from a team in their cup window in Florida. Basically,
yeah, like, I think they got worse.
They 100% got worse, but the thing is that they probably lose either Huberto, Weegar, or both to free agency next year. So it's almost like a short-term loss for a long-term game, which is really weird to see from a team that's like all in.
It's such especially a challenge. Especially
how all in they were just spending first-round picks.
Yeah.
They cannot afford a down year.
It's such a shell trade.
Yeah, it is. It's a very odd one.
Especially like the Atlantic is loaded this year. Like I'm honestly a little bit concerned for Florida.
Yeah, I would be too. And prior to yesterday, I was concerned for Boston too. How do you like this segue? Boston signs Patrice Bergeron to a 1-year, $2.5 million contract with a $2.5 million signing bonus. And they also bring back David Krejci after a year in Czechia to a 1-year, $1 million. So they've got their top two centers back on 1-year deals. I thought Boston was going to be in for one if they didn't have Bergeron coming back, especially. But getting Krejci back, I feel feels like gravy for me. But like, who's hurt for them? Like McAvoy's missing a bunch of the start of the year. Marchand's missing.
I think Marchand is too.
Marchand
is
for
yeah, everyone. Like,
they're banged up, and they're like I'm looking at their cap friendly right now. They've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. They've got 9 UFAs after next season, and 8 of them are forwards, and one of them is David Pastrnak. Yeah, I don't know. Like, obviously, it's a 1-year thing. Both guys, like, Krejci's 36, Bergeron is 37, and getting those guys at those numbers is ridiculous. I don't know. It looks like this Boston dynasty or this, I don't even know. Like, I don't know what you want to call it, but this Boston run of consistent success every year could be coming to a close soon. I think they cracked it open for another year with bringing these two guys back, but it's looking like in the next couple of years, it's looking bleak. And I'm kind of surprised Pastrnak hasn't signed an extension yet because it just seems like a thing Boston would have done by now if it was going to happen.
I like you're saying you were concerned for Boston. I still am concerned for Boston. Like this year is not going to be good for them
because of the injuries or just
the injuries, the way their core is aging, they have no prospects. I think Pass is probably going to leave at this point. Like, I wouldn't want to stay there long term. They've emptied the coverage year after year, and they're definitely due for some regression. And obviously, having Bergeron and Krejci back this year will help, but I don't think it's going to make that big of a difference. Like, they're wild card at best, I would say.
Yeah, but were they not wild card last year?
Well, yeah, I think they're trending down still, though.
Yeah, they're trending down, but I don't think that, I don't know. I think Ottawa's the closest to them in that division, but I still think there's a bit of a gap between Boston and Ottawa. And it's kind of one of those things where the injury thing is huge. Like, they got big dudes missing months at the beginning of the season, which could crush them at the start of the year, and it probably will. But I just think that bringing back Bergeron, who's literally had one of the best seasons of his career last year, and Krejci, and who knows how he'll be after a year out of the NHL. But I just think that, I was ready to write them off. I'm not anymore.
I think, too, it's important to remember for the guys missing the first start of the year, they're not only missing enough games where if you lose a bunch of them, you're mathematically screwed. They're also missing training camp, and they're going to take an extra month and a half to get going. So it's really half their season might be shot.
McAvoy's in that injury group, too, isn't he?
Yeah, it's McAvoy, Grizzlick, and Marchand. But I tend to agree a little bit more with Jack. Not a little bit more, a lot more, actually, in the sense that I actually see it. That I actually see it a lot more extreme. I think they're 100% out of playoffs this year.
And really?
I think one, if not two, of both Ottawa and Detroit pass them.
Oh, Buffalo, this is getting close.
Buffalo's going to be close, too.
I think Buffalo's going to be better than Detroit.
I have no
faith. Oh, wait, no. Detroit made a bunch of signings. Never mind.
Yeah, Detroit went hard in free agency.
I have no faith in Boston this upcoming season, and I'm willing to put it out there.
Okay. We'll do, standing predictions and stuff eventually, but where are you putting Boston in the division? Just before we get into everything, where are you putting them in division? Because right now it's sounding like you're putting them at, six.
Six,
okay. That's interesting. I am
excited. Montreal will be worse. That's the only one I'll guarantee.
I don't think Montreal's gonna be worse
than Boston.
Oh, than Boston, but not worse than last year.
No, I'm just saying they'll be below Boston in the standings.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's the only one I would say comfortably.
I agree with that statement. That's the only one I would say for sure will be worse than Boston.
I'm so excited to do standings predictions and stuff. We haven't had a podcast going into a season before. It's going to be so fun to do preview stuff.
I think the injuries are going to tank them so hard.
Damn. Okay.
And if you're Pasternak and you're looking around and you know there's no prospects coming up, the guys around you are all older than you. The core. I don't see how you want to sign in with that.
That's such a big name to hit free agency. Holy crap. And he's what? He's 26. So he'll be 27 as a free agent. Oh my God. That'll be awesome. That's got to be the headliner. Unless McKinnon doesn't sign. There's some massive names that need some extensions. Okay. We'll come back to McKinnon. Let's hit the Islanders quick. Unless you guys have anything more on Boston.
No, good.
Okay. There were some tweets circling today, notably Frank Saravalli on the what's the pod called? DFO Rundown?
Yeah.
Okay. Is he on that podcast or was he just guesting on it? Or do you know?
No, it's Daily Faceoff. So that's the company he's part of. Okay. So he's on it.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. So he was reporting or kind of put it out there that there might be a 7x7 for Kadri with the Islanders in Lou Lamoriello's treasure chest, as he does. I thought that was interesting. I don't mind the number. The Islanders are kind of in a desperate situation where they've got all these terrible contracts. Might as well tack
one
on.
More.
What's one more, right? Even though it's a decent
Why
one.
Not?
Even though seven, it's a good one. Seven's a
seven
good
by
number
seven
for
Kadri. Honestly, I thought it was going to be worse.
Yeah. Unless he was going back to Colorado, I thought he was getting 8 to 9.
Yeah, I thought it would be over under. I would have taken over on 8.5.
But still, why are they why are they doing it?
Well, because Ryan, like, again, I love going to their cap friendly page. It literally makes me laugh. But like, they've got so many veterans signed, and they've got nobody coming up in the prospect system.
Don't
like,
add it though. Don't add to it. Realize when you went too far.
They're not going to be able to sign Barzal. Like,
they weren't anyway. So who cares?
Trade him. Tear it down.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't know. It's funny because if this 7x7 thing is real, then Kadri's going to be an Islander for only 2 years longer than Casey Cizikas. Casey Cizikas is on a 5-year contract. Okay. But the thing that I find most interesting is the Islanders currently have $11 million in cap space. $11,185,037. That's without contracts for Kiefer Bellows, Alexander Romanoff, and Noah Dobson. Noah Dobson is an absolute stud. Like, he's easily, well, I've got they've got Pulak and Pelech there. Those names are really hard next to each other, but like, Dobson's a stud, and so you got to think that they've got those guys signed. They just haven't released the contracts yet, because they did that with like 4 or 5 guys last year. Like, off the top of my head, they had who did they have done last year that they just didn't put out? It was Parisi, Palmieri. Was Varlamov in there? I feel like Varlamov was in there. Or Sorokin. One of their goalies was in there, I know for sure. But they had a bunch of contracts that they just had stored away. And then, like, first day of training camp, here's like 5 signings. And it was, like, completely wild. But, like, you guys got to think that Dobson and Romanoff are done, right? You think?
Yeah, for sure.
And, like, do you think those are probably bridge deal? Because how do you fit those two guys and Kadri under $11 million?
It's got to be bridge deals. And I think even at bridge, they're probably a bit over 11.
So they.
And I think that's why they're waiting, is to make a trade, which Blue maybe doesn't know. You can go 10% over in the offseason. Hasn't got that memo yet.
Or he does, and he just, like, has the trade tucked away too. He's got like one of the younger GMs at gunpoint, and he just
he's slowly putting the pieces together, and then
on a typewriter he's typing it like one letter a day,
and then he's gonna execute them all one by one. His master plan.
It's because it's when he drops the envelopes off, he'll just drop them all off together, mail them out. Not used to phones yet.
Can you imagine if it's 25-year-old Anthony Beauvillier that they deal to make cap space?
Which it honestly might be.
100% is going to be, I think. Because, okay, Anders Lee 4x7, Brock Nelson 3x6, Josh Bailey 2x5, JG Pageau 4x5, Palmieri 3x5, Casey Cizikas 5x2.5, and then the rest are complete nothing. Wahlstrom, he probably has value, but he's on making 800k, 894k. Parise's not getting traded.
Trade anyone you just mentioned. Like, yeah, I don't
they
care.
Can't. They can't. They won't be able to. No, they don't have value. All of those guys are like negative value contracts unless you retain.
What if they just trade Barzal?
And to bring in Kadri. But like,
a cap dump.
It'd be literally money in, money out. Barzal's making 7. I want Matthew Barzal on a different team so badly.
Please. A different team and a different coach. He's going to be a 100-point player.
Please, please let that be Lou's plan. Trade Barzal away to sign Kadri.
But, okay, Jack.
Not even bringing in picks or anything. Just for, like, a cap dump. So, like, he gives
future Arizona considerations. Like Vegas. Like Vegas.
He saw what Pacioretty went for and was like, oh, okay.
Oh, well, shit, I guess that's what we're doing now, guys.
They both make $7 million, so it's like, oh, I guess this is what a $7 million player goes for. But Jack, do you think that Barzal has that year this year with the new coach because Trotz is out, or do you think
happy with their new coach because if I'm not mistaken, it's Barry Trotz is like,
yeah,
plus it's a guy.
Plus it's Lou, so it's always going to be that defensive system.
Yeah, and like I'm pretty sure the guy worked with like Trotz since Nashville, so it's just going to be the same thing.
It's been like 11 years he's been with them. Like,
it's going to be the same system.
Mentor relationship. Yeah. It's going to be the same thing.
Barzal's 25 and he's probably like, I don't know, top 15 to 20 talent in the NHL. Maybe that's even being pessimistic. Like, he might even be better than that. He just hasn't been able to show it. Besides, like, in his rookie year, which I think was his career year to this point.
And, like, with Canada and the North America team.
Yeah.
Like, he's shown he's capable of skilled plays. He's just not allowed to in New York.
He's literally not allowed to.
He gets detention if he tries to deke in the neutral zone.
Yeah. I don't know. I think that's a fair prediction. Like, if this Kadri rumor is legit, they've got $7 million coming on there. I bet you a Dobson bridge deal is like 2x4, 2x3.5, something like that. Like, he's a star, but like, they kind of set the tone with defenseman contracts by getting Pulak and Pelech at 6.15 and 5.75 respectively. So I bet you Dobson comes in around 2.4, maybe even probably less. And then Romanov, like, he had a crap year for Montreal. So he's probably what, like a 1 or 2 year guy at like $2 million or less, maybe.
Yeah. One by two, maybe.
And then, so then you've got Kadri at $7 million. So those three contracts, complete guesses together, is about $13 million. So you have to shed $2 million. But like, I don't think you can shed any of those contracts. Like, maybe you can pay someone to take Clutterbuck. He's only got 2 years left. Matt Martin, you're not trading Ross Johnson. No one's taking a four-year deal for a fourth liner.
And they really don't have assets either.
No. And Beauvillier,
it's not like their prospect cupboard is full and they can just get rid of one.
No, it's not. Like, legitimately, I'm looking at their cap friendly page. I think they have like three positive value forwards. Like, Barzal obviously is positive value. Do you guys think Anders Lee is positive at 4x7?
Maybe he's healthy.
That's a pretty big caveat for him, I think.
Yeah, I think he missed like most of last year, if I'm not mistaken.
Like, I think he'd be a similar Pacioretty thing. Like, if you were to get Anders Lee, you'd be giving up almost nothing.
Yeah.
Brock Nelson, he's a good player. So actually, he probably has value. Josh Bailey, probably not. JG Pageau, definitely not. Palmieri, no. Beauvillier does. Cizikas, no. Clutterbuck, no. Matt Martin, no. Ross Johnson, no. Wallstrom probably does. Parise's like nothing anyway. And then Kiefer Bellows, who's 24 and an unsigned RFA. I don't know. That's just a mess. But if they get Kadri, maybe they'll put up like 86 points this year instead of 80 and be a little...
Just get a worse draft pick.
Yeah, be within 15 points of the wild card instead of 20, because that division is loaded. I bet you... Okay, what were the standings last year in terms of where the Islanders were? They were... Because the East was so messy... In that, well, actually, no, it was the opposite of messy. In that, the top eight were so far above the bottom eight. The Islanders had 84 points as the, like, the at the playoff cutoff. Washington had 100 points as the eight seed. I think New Jersey's better than the Islanders this year. I think Ottawa's gonna be right there. Detroit and Buffalo could be, like, I don't know. Whatever.
Columbus is probably better than them this year.
Yeah. Like, that division got better. Although, yeah, I don't know. It's a weird one. The Islanders,
they're going to be worse in the East and still, like, not bottom five for a draft pick.
Yeah. That's a weird team. Okay. Carolina signed Nietzsche's 2x3. I thought that was a really low AAV for him. I was expecting higher. To be honest, he's a really good player.
It's just a bridge deal.
It is a bridge deal, but and it's Carolina, so they've got guys below market. Let's see what he did this past season. Because for whatever reason, I thought he was going to get like 2x4. Yeah,
In 78 games, he had 14 goals and 26 assists for 40 points.
Okay, so he's right around.
I think he had a good playoff.
He had 5 assists in 14 games.
So, no.
Never mind.
Oh, it was the weird 56 game season that he had a good year. He had 41 points in 53 games. That's why I was thinking he would come in higher. Okay, so yeah, 2x3 makes sense for him. He was an offer sheet candidate. I just thought that was worth throwing out there because that literally happened an hour ago. Okay, let's wrap up the pod by talking Nathan MacKinnon. A rumor. I don't know if it was a rumor. Ryan sent us an article about a report that Nathan MacKinnon is seeking to become the highest paid NHL player, which means that he wants to make more than 12.5 per year. What do you guys think? I mean, yeah. I know in the group chat, Jack was saying that that would probably – actually, no. Ryan, what are your thoughts? We'll get into what Jack said when Jack talks.
Well, I don't think it's a rumor because I'm pretty sure it was from Adrian Dater, who is, like, the number one abs guy.
Oh, okay. He seemed like a legit.
Yeah, so I think it's pretty legit. And I love it. I think he should go for it. He's been on a sweetheart deal. He's one of the best players in the league. I love seeing players go for it in their asks. So I love it. I don't love it from Colorado, obviously, but
you don't?
I love it.
I honestly don't hate it for Colorado.
I don't think the number's too bad, but you never love giving a player $13 million because that's probably what his ask is.
Jack, I know you have thoughts on this that are similar.
Well, I think it's well deserved for him. Like as Ryan was saying, he was on one of the cheaper deals or one of the best kind of underpaid guys with his. I think he signed right out of his ELC, and when that became kind of popular,
it was times 6.3 coming off his ELC.
Yeah, and I think there was a little time there where that was like really common. And obviously, like Pasternak was similar. Those guys have aged into really good deals. So I think the money's well deserved. I think it's kind of tough. Like, if I'm not mistaken, if I'm remembering the stat properly, Price is the only person to make a final making over 10 mil.
Yep.
Because once like Kane and Taves did it, Chicago had already dropped off. So I think that's kind of a risk for Colorado. Like if you're looking to make a dynasty, which I think they have a chance to do, you look at what Tampa Bay did and they kept everyone under. Nobody was going to try and make that record. So I think it's a little bit of a risk for Colorado. It's worth it. Like I don't think the Avs really have a choice. Like it's kind of just give them a blank check. But I do think it's going to handicap the team a bit.
I think it's a bit different because McKinnon's still so young and he's absolutely worth the $13 million. I think the problem with this whole only one guy has made it to the final making $10 million take is that, like, literally I'm looking at the list of guys who make $10 million or more. And so there's 14, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and then Huberdeau would make 10 because his contract doesn't start till next year. That's 10 guys who are in that 10 million range that are now 30 years or older, and most of them signed the, like, I don't know, I just, like, McKinnon's gonna be 27 going into his first year of his contract, so he's still gonna be in his prime, and he's gonna be until like 35, and he's probably still gonna be a really good player then. And you've got Makar at 9, you've got Rantanen at 9.2, you've got Landeskog at 7, I think, yes, I want to say. And you've got Eric Johnson coming off the books, and he's like your fifth most important defenseman. So you just take that money and throw it at McKinnon and replace Johnson with
him. I think we talked about it on a different episode where the money really does work out nice with that to let Eric Johnson either go or take a cheap deal and give it all to McKinnon.
Another underrated aspect of this is like Joe Sakic isn't the GM anymore, right? Like he moved up or something.
He's president.
He's president now.
President of hockey ops. Okay. They wanted to keep their like assistant GM or something, so they promoted everyone.
So this may screw up my point, but let's just assume he's still making decisions. He's played hardball in the past. Like, is he going to be willing to just give him a blank check? Like, he was pretty willing to let Landeskog leave last year, I think, until Landeskog was like, "Hey, I don't want to leave."
Yeah, I am very excited to hear. Sorry, I've got something in my eye here. I'm very excited to see. Yeah, I know. I'm very upset over the thought of McKinnon not getting his $13 million. I'm really looking forward to see, because McKinnon seems like one of the, like, he seems like he'd be a bull to negotiate with, like, especially after making 6.3 for the past 7 years. And
especially if this is coming out right now. His camp leaked it.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
They want the world to know. They want world to know.
Yeah. Because then it's like, if he leaves Colorado, you can kind of point to the Avs and be like, hey, they didn't want to make me the highest paid player. It's their fault.
Yeah.
So.
And honestly, like, as you say, McKinnon is very good and he is still younger. Like, I would not be surprised if he becomes the first to make a final with the 10 plus salary. But are we going on an adventure?
Yeah, I've got to take my contacts out. Just keep talking.
Okay. Fuck, I can't even. What was I even talking about?
Where I don't. I have no idea. I've completely curtailed this. I'm sorry.
Brutal. No, I think McKinnon probably will be like a decent chance to be the next guy into the finals at 10 mil or more. I just think until that's done and until someone wins it with that salary, it's risky to do it.
Oh, I'm like literally crying over here. Ryan, you talk.
That's a new top 10 fucking transition. Oh, I cursed. My bad, boys.
No, you're good. You're good.
Yeah, this is getting put on TikTok.
Just yell, no. Talk.
Ryan, you talk. Now. I'm busy.
I'm crying. Talk.
No, I think it's good for everyone. Honestly, I love seeing salaries just go up. So I think it's just good for the game. It's something that needs to be done. It's a part of business. Just don't make it hard.
If McKinnon wants his $13 million, I'm Joe Sakic. I'm giving him his $13 million to be
completely honest. Yeah, you can't not.
Like, I wouldn't even, especially everything I've heard about McKinnon, I wouldn't even kick the tires on going under that. Like, if he was like, give me 13, I'd be like, okay, I wouldn't even be like 12.5.
Yeah.
I feel like he would walk out the door with his rice cake.
I think we would have a conversation. I think there'd be a legitimate debate to have if Colorado had to maybe drop some salary to do this. But Eric Johnson comes off the books at the same time as McKinnon. Like, you take that. So your trade is basically Eric Johnson and a $700,000 salary, which is an ELC. You take those two and you get to keep McKinnon for the next 8 years. Like, it's a no-brainer for me. And he's a guy that's actually worth it. Like, if you run down the list of players that are worth it, Jack made this point in the group chat, there's like three or four guys that are actually worth their double-digit million-dollar salary at this point.
Yeah, and a lot of them are horrible from the start.
A lot of them were bad from the start. Like, Taves and Kane was kind of a mess from the start. Kane was worth it, but it handicapped the rest of the roster. Taves was really never worth it because he started regressing a year or two after that contract. Doughty got paid a year or two too late.
Eric Carlson was bad from the beginning.
Eric Carlson was a disaster from the beginning, but that's just...
Bobrovsky was bad from the start.
Bobrovsky's terrible. Eichel's been hurt, so that's not a fair one, but still, like, they haven't... I don't know. He hasn't done anything since he signed that contract.
Even like when Price signed, like, it was very much like, this is probably going to be a mistake, but it's a mistake they had to make. They couldn't risk losing him.
And Tavares was like one of the biggest UFA moves of all time. And so that's why he got 11. And now that contract's hamstringing. Is that even a word? Is handcuffing the Leafs. And so, not to mention Matthews and Marner, who I think are both worth what they make. And so, I don't know. I think you give McKinnon the 13, especially because McCarr's at 9, which is about $4 million less than he should be making. And you just you make it work for that kind of player. All right. We have less than a minute. I don't know if you guys have anything else. My eyes are feeling much better.
It doesn't look like it. It looks like you're struggling.
Well, it's because I can't see now. I'm having to, like, blink a lot to refocus my eyes. Otherwise, like I literally have to, like, go like this to see less than a minute. My eyes suck. I need to go put my glasses on. You guys have anything else for this pod?
Nope.
All righty. Hit the outro. This has been episode 21 of Professional Energy.